2. 3 miles from the shopping center, they came to a dirt road which struck off into the pine trees on their left. There had been other byways, which Eddie had passed without slowing from the steady 30 miles an hour he had been maintaining, but at this one, he stopped. Both front windows were down. They could hear the wind in the trees, the grouchy call of a crow, the not-too-distant buzz of a powerboat, and the rumble of the Ford's engine. Except for 100,000 voices singing in rough harmony, those were the only sounds. The sign marking the turnoff said no more than "Private Drive." Nevertheless, Eddie was nodding.
"This is it."
"Yes, I know. How's your leg?"
"Hurts. Don't worry about it. Are we going to do this?"
"We have to," Roland said. "You were right to bring us here. What's here is the other half of this." He tapped the paper in his pocket, the one conveying ownership of the vacant lot to the Tet Corporation.
"You think this guy King is the Rose's twin?"
"You say true." Roland smiled at his own choice of words. Eddie thought he'd rarely seen one so sad. "We've picked up the collar way of talking, haven't we? Jake first, then all of us. But that will fall away."
"Further to go," Eddie said. It wasn't a question.
"Aye, and it will be dangerous. Still, maybe nothing so dangerous as this. Shall we roll?"
"In a minute. Roland, do you remember Susanna mentioning a man named Moses Carver?"
"A stem. Which is to say a man of affairs. He took over her father's business when Cy Holmes died. Am I correct?"
"Yeah, he was also Sousa's godfather. She said he could be trusted completely. Remember how mad she got at Jake and me when we suggested he might have stolen the company's money?"
Roland nodded.
"I trust her judgment," Eddie said. "What about you?"
"Yes.
If Carver is honest, we might be able to put him in charge of the things we need to accomplish in this world."
None of this seemed terribly important compared to the force Eddie felt rising all around him, but he thought it was. They might only have one chance to protect the Rose now and ensure its survival later. They had to do it right. And Eddie knew that meant heeding the will of destiny. In a word, Ka.
"Suze says Holmes Dental was worth $8 or $10 million when you snatched her out of New York, Roland. If Carver's as good as I hope he is, the company might be worth $12 or $14 million by now."
"That's a lot."
"De la," Eddie said, tossing his open hand at the horizon, and Roland nodded. "It sounds funny to talk about using the profits from some kind of dental process to save the universe, but that's just what I am talking about. And the money the Tooth Fairy left her may only be the beginning. Microsoft, for instance. Remember me mentioning that name to Tower?"
Roland nodded. "Slow down, Eddie. Calm down, I beg."
"I'm sorry," Eddie said, and pulled in a deep breath. "It's this place. The singing. The faces. Do you see the faces in the trees? In the shadows?"
"I see them very well."
"It makes me feel a little crazy. Bear with me. What I'm talking about is merging Holmes Dental and the Tet Corporation, then using our knowledge of the future to turn it into one of the richest combinations in the history of the world. Resources to equal those of the Sombra Corporation, or maybe North Central Positronics itself."
Roland shrugged, then lifted a hand as if to ask how Eddie could talk about money while in the presence of the immense force flowing along the barrel of the beam and through them.